The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. Second half of the show is live. We're here for a couple more hours. Hope you didn't just get in the car or get home because you missed Kirby Smart earlier. We just had Nick Saban on, there's already been quite a bit of reaction to one of the lines he said, hoping that college football can return to when there was parity. A lot of people are chuckling over that, coming from the coach who has won 7 national championships and has dominated the sport. Anyway, let's go back to what we were doing earlier in this week. We were in Birmingham at the Regent's Tradition, and we caught up with the man who wrote the song you just got through listening to, the former American Idol winner, Taylor Hicks. And we're back with Taylor Hicks. And Taylor, I still remember the first time you came out here. I think you just won Idol. There was a crowd around that first tee to see the beloved, fortunate son, not to go Fogarty on it.
Don't go too far.
But it was, I know this place is special because you grew up in this part of the town, but it's great to see you.
You too.
And everywhere I go, I know you've had a brilliant career, but people say, Paul. Can you ever outrun this song?
I think it's serendipitous. I don't think I've ever told you this before, but when I got the call from, obviously you had gave the song your blessing, and they said, we want you to write it. And I said, well, I'll get to it in 2 or 3 months. I'll put it together and stuff. And they said, no, we want it. We were thinking next week.
Well, this is ESPN. We don't fool around.
And so I was in Key West, Florida, doing a show. And when I got the call to write and perform Call Paul, I knew I had to have something that was going to stick. And it was a little bit of a challenge because you want to write something that's a sports, you want to write a sports jingle. And so I actually wrote it in about 15 minutes. I took all the teams, right, and I wrote all the teams on one side of the paper, and then what they represent on the other side. And the down, 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 a little lick. It needs a little bit of a lick.
The Call Paul was kind of the hook, wasn't it?
Call Paul, you know. And I don't know if your viewers understand this or not, but when ESPN called me, the callers and the calls that come to your show, the callers are very important.
Yes.
And even from someone like me that's just kind of on the periphery of your show and what you do, the people that call in, calling the number, calling into ESPN, that's worth its weight in gold, and you've managed to create it.
Well, what's really struck me, Taylor, is the young, we'll get calls from parents who say, their 2-year-old or 3-year-old are singing it in the crib, or once they get out of the crib. It's just kind of become, but anyway, I know you.
You know what, I never thought in a million years that I would have anything musically
I've known Taylor since you were in high school, practically.
And from an infant to 6 years old, it actually would be a hit. That's show business. I mean, that's how show business goes sometimes. I'll take it. Well, anyway. That's your younger, that's about as a younger of an audience.
Yeah, no.
And I know that I'm important because you always want the younger demo.
That's pre-demo.
That's pre-demo.
So let's talk, what are you up to musically these days?
I finished a record finally. I've spent 10 years on it.
I can't tell you how many times I've been with you when you were telling me you were working on it. I was afraid to ask.
It's been a labor of love. 10 years. I did it at Zach Brown's studio up in Nashville, and I've got 10 or 12 songs, and I've decided to cut them down to 5 great ones. And then that's going to be released fall.
How would you describe the music?
You know, it sounds like an old Jackson Browne record. You know, very soulful, very Southern. You know, I mean, Chris Stapleton's, it's from a current standpoint, Chris used to send me songs to cut. And I always was like, what a voice. You know, you hear people that send you stuff. Very few that you hear a voice that's soulful. But, I mean, I'm a roots musician. You know, I come from a very Southern soulful place, and that also includes country and blues and soul. Unfortunately, in the business, when you have to be genre specific, it seems like these days more so than ever.
Right.
But I consider, I've always had people tell me in the business that, you have to just be you, and those kinds of records and that kind of artistry will ultimately take care of itself in the long run.
I mean, I don't want it to typecast you, because I think what people don't understand, you won American Idol, but you were truly an artist, where I think often people saw you as an entertainer, but I knew better, and your friends know better. Has that been a conflict? Because one of your records, I don't know when it was, maybe 15 years ago, it seemed like it was more artistic than...
You know, Idol was a singing competition.
Right.
When I won. The year after I won American Idol, it became more music-oriented. Phillip Phillips was playing guitars,
right.
And there was a lot of more... To a certain degree, there was some people that... Some artists on that show that maybe hid behind their instruments.
Right.
But for me, I had to create a little bit of a character. You know, I mean... It was the voice, but I had the harmonica, but if I played the harmonica, I would get disqualified. But I used it in different places in the show. But it's been tough because you come off of a show like that at that time. And in such a grand scale, trying to win a fan from an artistic, credible standpoint is tough. Coming off a show like that, trying to connect with America, and then not being able to have the artistry to do it, because it's if you did, then it's just a singing competition.
So final question, and I know you can't answer this because you have an agent and I have a company that will deal with
you. You have an agent too. Luckily, we don't have to. Our agents don't have to talk to each other.
No,
I can just call you. I can call Paul.
But that's what I want to ask you about, because I get calls all the time, like, hey, with Oklahoma and Texas, and we don't know when, but they're coming. Assuming that we're still in business together, have you given that any thought? You got to add two more schools.
I have. I'm not going to, we're not going to give up the ghost.
No.
But you know what's funny is that your first interview with me, you asked me if I was an Alabama and Auburn fan, and my reply was that when you answer that question, I'll answer that question.
Well, little known secret, Tyler, you went to Auburn, right?
Yep.
Taylor's the biggest Alabama fan I know, but he never let that out of the bag while he was depending on the people of Alabama.
Oh, you're stirring the pot. Golly, Paul stirs the pot
but
in
anyway,
the state, doesn't
maybe
he?
I got, maybe, I'm sorry, maybe I got that right.
Oh, Paul. I'm going to wear it.
Okay, Taylor Hicks, we cannot wait.
Boomer Sooner.
We can't wait for the...
Go Longhorns.
Welcome,
Boomer Sooner. It's Boomer Sooner. It's going
to
happen.
We might just have to get Scotty McCreary. I don't know. Taylor Hicks joining us here.
Call Paul.
And remember what Jeff Foxworthy told us in Atlanta? He said, I ran into Taylor Hicks at a golf tournament. I said, man, that Call Paul, that's your biggest hit, right? We are coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We've had quite an afternoon here with Kirby Smart, Daly, Nick Saban. Let's get back to the calls. And Dave is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul. Got a question for you. What do you think will happen to UK's Chris Rodriguez since he didn't show up for his court date today, and now he has a warrant for his arrest? And my next question is, wonder why Kentucky didn't send a GA or a coach down to make sure he made the court date?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Ultimately, if you can't make your own court date, you're probably experiencing some out-of-body experience that may not be good for the university. I really don't know, but you would think between the lawyer and the university, it would not be hard. But on the other hand, you don't know the reason for it. There could have been a specific reason. That's all I'm saying. But it's not good news, I will say that. Let's check out Mikey up next in Tennessee. Hello, Mikey.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
First off, I'd like to thank you and your show, Mark Kubiak. Best of luck to you in all your endeavors. Love to want to watch all your shows, whatever you got anything to do with. Paul, you guys have touched the lives of so many people that it's not even funny. I watch you every chance I get for the last, I don't even know, 5-6 years since I was able to get the SEC network. And from Tammy, Jim, it doesn't matter. All your callers that have come through since then, they're all adorable.
Thank you.
But what I want to ask about is all this hype about Tennessee right now with what Josh Heupel's doing. And with, of course, yeah, we've got the number 8, according to one of the polls, recruiting for 2023. Well, that doesn't help us this year. But a lot of people are saying Tennessee's got a good chance this year to be number 2 in the SEC to Georgia in the East. What's your take on that?
Yeah, on recruiting, let me offer this caution. It is way too early to do anything other than hype what your number is. I was with Marcus Freeman, the Notre Dame coach, 2 weeks ago. He was boasting about them being number 1. The big dogs walk late in recruiting. Always remember that. Not as late as they used to, but it is still May. Most of these guys are just getting out of high school. So they'll make a decision soon. They want to be there in January, but they don't have to do it yet. Just getting out of 11th grade in high school, I should say. So as far as Tennessee, I think it's possible Josh Heupel's team could be that good. They way outplayed their talent level last year, and I expect them with more talent, significantly more talent on the roster this year to improve. So, you know, who is going to vie? Is it Tennessee? Is it Florida? Is it Kentucky? Is it South Carolina? And I think ultimately Tennessee has a good shot to be that next team. Thank you very, very much. Let's continue with Clarence up next in Mississippi. How are you, Clarence?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I'm doing great, Paul.
Great to have you on.
Paul, I had a question, Paul. Mississippi State, what do you expect from Mississippi State this year?
I would say between 7 and 8 wins. I think they have a great quarterback. They have a lot of good players. They have a tough schedule. Ultimately, Mike Leach has to beat Lane Kiffin. That's paramount.
All right, Paul. I want to say congratulations to Jermaine Dixon. He was Raymond High School in Mississippi. He signed with East Mississippi Community College.
Well, Clarence, thank you very much for sharing that with us, and all the best to him. And let's talk again very soon. We'll see how State does. Let's continue. Ryan in Cincinnati. Hello, Ryan.
How's it going, Grim Reaper?
Getting grimmer and reapier.
It's Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th. You know, can you beat that?
Well, I mean, if you and Brams are not having a good day and are wanting to leave your job, maybe you guys should open that adult club. Just make sure you take Discover card for when Mike Price applies for his VIP membership.
I was talking to somebody the other day about next year. Next May will be the 20th anniversary of the Price fall from grace. And I think it's time to write the real book on what happened. Not the speculation, but how an Alabama football coach gets fired before ever coaching his first game.
It's a great accomplishment.
Yeah,
He couldn't have done any better, could he?
So far. Now, that's happened a couple of times. Coaches have gone someplace and maybe left. Notre Dame hired a coach once who never made it out of the press conference, I don't think, because they found out that he had a nice resume, didn't he? But Price got out of the first press conference. He just couldn't get out of the bar.
Not quick enough.
No.
He was having too much fun. Yeah. I wonder where Matt Jones was at today. Shouldn't he have been getting Chris Rodriguez to his court appearance?
Yeah, Matt's a lawyer. You would think Matt would be representing him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Paul, I see with the West Georgia Water Boys being irrelevant, is it safe to say that Georgia's just trying to fill their shoes of being Alabama's main rival? Because, I mean, are the Barners even going to win 10 games anytime soon?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because, you know, in my first 30 years, I know that sounds like a Tim McGraw song, or maybe it's my next 30 years, Alabama-Auburn was the biggest rivalry in the entire country, hands down. Is it the biggest rivalry? Mm-hmm. Is it Alabama's biggest rivalry today? I hear much more back and forth between Georgia and Alabama, and it's not about the game. It's about where the programs are going. I had a friend in Georgia today text me, and he said, I think the two ships have passed in the night. And I go, well, I'm not going that far. But that's really where the action is among the heavyweights right now.
I mean, I feel like it is. I mean, granted, back in the early 90s, I mean, you remember how fierce it was with Spurrier versus Tennessee and all the jabs he used to take
sure.
at him. But right now, I just feel like Georgia, the way Georgia fans and – oh, my goodness. I mean, Mike Griffin. I'd rather listen to Herb Wenches right now than Mike Griffin. But I'll tell you what, I just think it's starting to – I mean, I don't want to diss the Iron Bowl. I still love it. I do agree with you about it being the best rivalry. Right now, to me, it's more fierce between Georgia and Alabama right now. Definitely on the fan side of things, in my opinion.
Well, not only on the fan side, but let's say you go into the – Alabama War Room today, which is where they have the secret recruiting chart, they're not concerned mm-hmm. about Auburn. They're concerned about Georgia.
Exactly. I mean, the Tide, I think, I mean, I think their main rival right now, I mean, I don't want it because the Iron Bowl is so sacred, Paul, you know that. But on the national stage, Georgia's their main rival right now in the SEC by far.
And I think it's premature, but having sat down this week, obviously, with the two coaches, I mean, there's an intensity to that rivalry. I don't let anybody think that there's not. I know when they get together, it's always about father and son and all that nonsense. But Nick Saban is well aware of what Kirby Smart is doing over there, and so is everyone in Tuscaloosa, and it's not so much what Kirby Smart did on the field this year, finally beating Alabama. It's what they did 2 weeks ago in the draft. I mean, that's as Kirby told us earlier in the show, that pays residual, And I don't want to say Alabama didn't show up at the draft. They had a first-round pick, a couple of first-round picks. But Georgia was the story. Georgia was the one that walked out of Vegas with every recruit in the country watching going, wow. I mean, you heard what Arch Manning said the other day. He loves Kirby Smart. I'm sure he says that about everyone, but this was pretty significant. Anyway, up against a break, coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I want to go back, as we say hello to you, to something that Nick Saban said. It's starting to really generate. It was the beginning of our interview with him, which we just got through replaying about an hour ago. He said, one of the things I like to see us be able to work back to is everything in college football has always had parity. I know that's a little awkward phrase, but what he said and what I heard him say very clearly was we need what the NFL has, and that's a draft. It's an equitable system where everybody has a chance. The reaction is unbelievably negative to what he said. Stuart Mandel, who is the editor of The Athletic, said, is he mocking us? Others have said, tweeter, Dan Goldstein, said, I believe Feinbaum transcribed the word parody, P-A-R-O-D-Y, incorrectly. So my question is, what do you think Saban was really trying to say there? Of all people, Nick Saban, who has more resources than anyone, or presumably anyone in college football, has 6 national championships at Alabama, a school that had won 12 before he got there, or 13. What exactly is he saying? Is this subterfuge? Is he serious? Does anyone out there believe that Nick Saban is concerned about Vanderbilt winning a conference game or Missouri?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Or anyone else? I mean, he has put more coaches into the unemployment line than any man in the history of the game. He has dominated the game like no one has ever done. So I think some are finding his comments that he made to us the other day rather interesting. Let's talk to Squirrel's grandson.
Hey, Paul. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you.
I want to throw two things your way. I'm from Lexington, Cats fan, clearly. You know, Hugh from Deep Gap, I could listen to that gentleman read the encyclopedia pretty much any day of the year. And I like the commentary that he brings. The way that he played around with the pod systems, got out paper and pen.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he brought
the old-fashioned
interesting
way.
Notion. Yeah, and I thought, you know, that's such a creative approach there to a call. And I'm a longtime listener, I'm a disabled veteran here in Lexington. And, you know, I think of some of the callers as family members. And I've heard that other people speak to that before. And I threw out Squirrel's grandson because he's probably my current favorite caller at the moment. I have a thing to say to Jim. Jim, you be Jim, bro. Like, sometimes you rub me the wrong way, but that's okay. And I don't ever want to hate on what you do. JK in Alabama, man, I wish I woke up and got out of bed with a quarter of the moxie that you greet each day. I wish I had a can of what you eat for breakfast. And then I think I wanted to close on the topic of I see Squirrel as just being this overall gentleman in the way that he kind of comes to the show, and his voice is unassuming. I do think his perspective is unique, and I feel like I've kind of stepped all over my own call here, But I'll just close with, as a Cats fan, I'm going to make the case that if there is a year for Kentucky to contend with Georgia, this is the year. Kirby clearly has all the deserved accolades, obviously. But I think that if they play that game and contend for the East, not just, you know, I think they play in November, if memory serves, but they play that 10 times.
Yeah, they play that
Kentucky
game. And by the way, Squirrel, thank you very, very much for your call. It was excellent. Let's check in with Paul, who is in Oregon. Hello, Paul. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to there's a lot of things I guess I could talk about, but I'll talk about Nick Saban a bit in that comment as I understand it, which may not be the way you look at it. I just was thinking that by parity, maybe he means if everybody gets to spend the same amount of money, he's fine with that because people will want to have him as their coach. And he's not afraid to coach against anybody. So I think he's fine with a level playing field. I don't know that he feels he can compete with Texas money. And Oregon's lucky enough to have that one big fellow that likes to remember he's an alumni and owns a big shoe company.
I like that.
So it could be just simply that he's just saying, okay, let's just say everybody gets this amount of money and spend it on their team, and that's that. We'll see who wants to play
for
me.
Yeah, and Paul, I want to say on one level, and maybe because I was sitting next to him, when you sit next to Saban, you are in his universe. I mean, you are rotating on his axis. So I heard him say, wouldn't it be nice if we could go back to a different era in college football, but we can't. So I'm not going down memory lane. I mean, Nick Saban has seen a lot, and there was I can absolutely guarantee you, he does not like where we are today.
Yeah, and a lot of us don't, and maybe we're all of a particular age, and you know, maybe a lot of the ex-athletes like to think that they, you know, would have been a lot better, and it would have been nice enough that we had an NC2A that was open enough to say a fella could get some money to be home for the holidays, for heaven's sakes. So I don't have any problems with, that idea, other than I do hope they're on pace to go to school and go to class as a taxpayer.
No, you're
to
right.
A state.
And Paul,
I would like.
Yeah, but he hates where we are, but because and thank you for the call. And part of that is because he has built a system down there that is a feeder to the NFL players, and you know everything that he preaches, discipline, the locker room. You heard him talk about that. It is now open for interpretation. Hey, by the way, we had Michael Bratton on the other day for SEC Mike, does the podcast. And in reaction to what Saban said, he has done this, and I'll share it with the audience. Saban wants parity in the SEC and in college football. These are the current active winning streaks for Alabama. Tennessee, 15 straight games. Arkansas, 14 straight. State, Mississippi State, 14. Vandy, 11 straight. Eight straight over Florida. Is that amazing or what? Eight straight against Florida. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Kentucky, 7. Ole Miss, 6. Ole Miss beat them 2 years in a row. Missouri, 5. So that is Nick Saban wants parity. Well, good. I hope he gets it. Let's get some more reaction. Bobby is in Florida. Hello, Bobby.
Paul, thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thank you.
I do have to admit, this is kind of a reactionary phone call. It wasn't well thought out. But when I heard that Saban wants more parity, I can't assume he's trying to make his job harder, is he? Like, he seems to have a stranglehold on the SEC. And we've talked before, Paul. I'm from Knoxville. I'm a huge Tennessee fan. And I guess I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around what he said. I've been trying to listen to the past couple calls while I've been on hold, but it again, like I turned the TV on. I heard you say that, or I heard Saban say that, and I picked up the phone and I called right in. And luckily, I'm already here with you.
Well, I wonder what it is. Maybe he's upset because he wants parity where he wins every year and everybody else plays for second. Maybe that's the parity he wants.
I mean, wouldn't that be history though?
Yeah, I mean, it is getting rather uncomfortable for Saban because what has he lost? Is it 3 out of the last 4 national championship games? I mean, that never. I mean, at one time he had never lost a national championship game. Until last year, he never lost to an assistant. So yeah, I guess he wants a paradigm shift.
Okay. All right. One last quick thing, and then I'll get out of here. Did when you were running down Alabama's winning streaks, you started with Tennessee at 15. Obviously, that hurts. Did I hear Vanderbilt at 11?
Yes. And I'm trying to remember.
Well, maybe. Vandy doesn't play Alabama every year like Tennessee
does.
No.
So that's why it's not a,
Okay.
The Tennessee and Mississippi State do. Those winning streaks go back to, I know Tennessee last beat Alabama in 06.
Eric Ainge was the quarterback, right?
Yeah, I believe State beat them under Sylvester Croom in 07. I'm just relying on I haven't had time to certify what Michael said. I believe he probably is pretty accurate. But yeah, the Vanderbilt and Alabama do not play that often. They used to.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you so much, Paul. Have yourself a good night.
Yeah, but Bobby, thank you very much for the call. Why don't we head to the break? We are here for as long as you want to. I mean, you can stay as long as you want. Should we go past the end date?
No.
We'll be here all night.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. And I realize a lot of people are trying to digest what Nick Saban told us earlier. We will play a clip of it at the top of the next hour just for context, because there are two sides to every story. I think a lot of people heard one thing. In fact, I will say, when I was talking to him Wednesday, I heard what he said. I understood it, but it did stay with me. And I started when I came back, I said, he said a rather interesting thing. I don't know what. I haven't gone back to listen to it yet. And now, of course, we have. Margaret is in Dallas. Hi. Hello, Margaret.
Oh my goodness! Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Okay, I have so many thoughts about what Nick Saban said. I don't think it's that controversial.
Okay, well, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I don't understand why everyone's freaking out. I think what it is, he is naturally a competitive person, so he wants to compete. If he's just dominating every single year, wouldn't he get bored?
I would say and I'll couch this carefully, but if you know anything about Nick Saban, the answer is no, because Nick Saban doesn't carry one year to the next. It's always a reset. It's whatever happened previously doesn't matter. And I'm going to knock your head off this year just like I did last year.
Exactly. I can agree with that. The other thing is someone brought up Texas. I don't think Nick Saban's losing sleep over Texas. I don't think he's even thinking about them coming really to the SEC. I'm an Arkansas grad, so obviously I'm coming into this biased, but I don't even think that he's losing sleep over it. Someone made it sound earlier like he was so concerned. He's not concerned.
Well,
with Texas.
I tell you why I think he's, I do think he's concerned. Concern's a generous word here, by the way, about what Texas A&M is doing. But what Nick Saban does know very clearly is the money that they have in Austin. And especially since he took a couple of key players, as you probably know, out of that area, two legends. And so he's competed with Texas, and he also has a relationship with Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, but
he's
also
vying with Texas for the top player in next year's class, which money will not influence, by the way.
That's for sure. I mean, there's no way Arch Manning's going to Austin. There's just no way. He's going to go somewhere where there's already something built up that's great that he can really fit into. I don't think Arch Manning is going to go somewhere where it's, you know, he's got to help build it.
I don't know. I've heard everyone wants to argue. I talked to, I think it was Ari Wasserman last night, and he didn't make the argument, but he said if he, you know, Georgia's obvious, Alabama's obvious. In some ways, Alabama fits Arch Manning because it's effortless. It's seamless. He does. Mm-hmm. He moves right in there to follow the last group. I mean, you got Jalen, Tua, yeah. Mack, Bryce. It's not like that big of a deal for somebody to go in there and become a great quarterback. That's been the way it's been now since 2015. And at Austin, there's going to be a lot of distractions and a lot of hullabaloo over the fact that they've been terrible lately.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I completely agree. I think he'd be a better fit at Alabama. I mean, it should be fun to watch him at Georgia. I think he'd work great there. But given Saban's history of quarterbacks, I mean, all the way back to even A.J. McCarron was really fun to watch, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, A.J. McCarron doesn't get much credit, even though
he won Justice two. Just for A.J. McCarron, he really built that, like, really started something there.
I remember in 2013, I was somewhere doing an interview with ESPN, and they said if A.J. McCarron can finish the season, meaning beat Auburn in the SEC game and wins the championship, would he be the greatest quarterback in Alabama history? He would have won three national championships. Nobody's ever done that. Hey, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Let's continue. And a lot of crazy calls are coming in here. Paul is in North Carolina. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how's it going, Paul Feinbaum? Thanks for taking my call. I just kind of got in late on the conversation, but, you know, I'm not an Alabama. We're talking about Alabama, obviously, in the NIL. I'm not an Alabama fan. By no stretch, I don't much care for Nick Saban. But I will say this. I don't think whatever Nick Saban has said is that controversial, in my opinion. I think what it all comes down to is basically this. To be the best, you got to beat the best. And right now, like you alluded to, and I'm agreeing with what you said, by the way, he is the best. He's feeding the NFL with multi-talented players every year. I mean, he's done a lot of great things. But in terms of this NIL deal, and that's kind of what I wanted to get into, and I don't want to come onto your show and feel like I'm a horse's ass and I don't know what I'm talking about, because it's certainly not the case. I kind of want to get your opinion on it. That's kind of why I'm calling in. I just think big-time money here is ruined college athletics. I used to really look forward to the traditions, the college football on Saturday. I love watching you on Saturday on SEC Network. You got a great show there, by the
Thank
way.
You. Thank you
but
very much.
It just seems like the money and everything
Paul,
is just
I'm not
ruined
arguing,
college
but,
athletics.
But I understand it, but I think – a lot. Thank you for the call, but I think it's the same way with so many other things. The world changes, and I hate the word, well, you have to be adaptable, but you really do. And I accept that this is a money-driven business these days. I work for a company that has a big part of it. Everything is billion this and billion that, but it's not the good old days anymore. It's 2022, I think. Is it still 2022?
Let's not check.
I think it's already 2024. Maybe. What happened to 2 years?